friend, the Apostle Paul, says, you and me are not to worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Give me a break. Come on, listen, you and I, and I think the Apostle Paul would agree, struggle with this. This is a biggie. And he was talking to young Timothy, and he was saying, Timothy, listen, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and then he'll be there for you. And those words are powerful, but listen, playing it out every day in a world that's upside down and the crises in the world and turning on the news and facing the stuff that we face, that can be difficult stuff. And so I tell you what, today in the next 28 minutes, we're gonna deflate the anxiety, worry problem maybe in some lives. And maybe it's becoming blown out a bigger proportion than it actually ought to be. And as believers, are some things that we can do to help us deflate that powerful thing that can drag us down, anxiety. And we're going to get to it here in a moment. I'll tell you what, let's get the phone open, though, because we only have a half hour. And so we got to do this quickly. And Amy's in here today helping out. Thank you, Amy. Stephen is home recovering from surgery, and let's pray for Stephen. I know he'd appreciate that. But I'll tell you, here's what I'd like to do. If you've struggled with anxiety and worry in your life, let's get really practical. Come on, Christians, let's get practical. What is one intentional thing that you do to help you deal with worry and anxiety in your life? Now, I know we're going to hear prayer. That's powerful. Trusting God. We're going to give some scripture. These are powerful, foundational things that we need to do. But you know, sometimes we can pray and we still get up and we still worry. We still struggle with this thing every day. And so maybe you have found some really practical things that help you with worry. I'd love to have you join in. The phone line is open, 888-888-1717. I've been reading a book called The Anxious Generation. It's a number one New York Times bestselling book. And it's talking about young people. We're talking about Gen Z and millennials in particular. I think the younger you go, the more you have social media influencing your life. And there's a direct correlation between what happens with worry and anxiety and how much time is spent in social media. In fact, here's a research study that came from the U.S. National Survey on Drug Use and Health, showing that the younger you are, the greater the increase in anxiety has occurred since 2010. And it's interesting, 2010 maybe, it's kind of like when social media really started. I mean, we've had it around for a long time, but it's really taken over, especially with younger people. And if you're 18 to 25 years of age, there's been a 139% increase since 2010 for anxiety in your life. If you're 26 to 34, only 103%. If you're 35 to 49, anybody raising their hands? Okay, thank you. Jennifer raised her hand. 52% increase. And if you're an old person, over 50, unbelievable, 8% decrease. Interesting. The younger you are, the greater the problem. Old people are boring. Not that we don't have anxiety stuff, but we do. But it's interesting. It's really been an issue. And of course, I'm not talking so much about social media today. That's just sort of an indication of what's going on with this young generation. But as believers, we're still facing some things that are really, really difficult when it comes to anxiety and worry in our life. Proverbs 12 says, worry weighs a person down. Boy, is that true. Ecclesiastes 2 says, you work and worry your way through life, and what do you have to show for it? Not much. Waste of time and energy. Many times. Ecclesiastes 5, the more you worry, the more likely you are to have bad dreams. That's interesting. And the more you talk, the more likely you are to say something really stupid or foolish. That's true. All right. Let's get the lines going here. They're busy. 888-888-1717. We're all in the boat on this. None of us are excluded from worry. But what's a really practical thing that you do? All right? Now, by the way, I'm going to tell you what Jesus says here in a moment. Ultimately, that's the foundation. We'll get to that. But what are some other things that you do that are really practical? Maybe help somebody who's feeling pretty overwhelmed today. And I do want to say this. if you have a serious problem with worrying anxiety, you may need to seek professional help. And don't feel like that's a failure or you're a bad person or a bad Christian. Many of us have, I went through a series where I had panic attacks in my 30s for no apparent reason, for a period of time. They came, they went, hadn't shown up again. I think God gave me that and a depressive period later, maybe just to help identify with the fact that we're all subject to the vicissitudes of life and the realities of life. So what do you do? 888-888-1717 is my number. Love to have you join in, be a part of the show today. 888-888-1717. And let's get to the callers. Going to Amber first in Georgia. Hi, Amber. How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Appreciate it. What helps you with anxiety and worry?
Spending time with other creatures that the Lord, you know, created. Dogs, cats, rabbits, pigs.
How does that help you, Amber? Oh, I think we're losing your signal. How does that help you?
Well, you think that they live a stress-free life, but in reality, spending time with them and watching their affection towards you puts it shifts your stress to theirs. And, like, what do they worry about? How do they survive? And
I would say we got a bunny out in our front yard that has a tad anxiety about the coyotes that come through our yard. But you're right.
Right.
But that's a reality. I mean, they don't pick up all the kinds of worries. They just worry about getting through the day. But man, so many of us worry about things. And this is a big deal. We worry about stuff we have no control over.
Right.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. You know, Amber, there's psychologically, there's a difference between fear and worry and anxiety. Fear is a natural, normal response to something that could be bad. And for an animal that might be someone's going to come after them, having a little fear is probably a way of surviving. But they don't sit around worrying about tomorrow and the next day and a week from now, do they?
No. Yeah. No. They live really carefree lives.
Do you live on you live outside in a rural area? Do you have a lot of animals in your property or what?
We do. We have a lot of animals and we have a lot of kids.
Now you hang around the kids, they can create some worry though, can't they?
Right, but it is kind of, we have a great balance because each child in our home kind of has their own animal and responsibility, and it's a soothing combination for them both, the animal and the child.
Absolutely. Really good way to start the show today. Thank you, Amber, from Georgia, hanging around with animals. You know, sometimes that's even a therapy for young children that have trauma in their life or difficulty in their life, that they relax and feel more, I guess, more normal, I suppose, with animals. Good reminder. Thank you, Amber. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hi, Dennis. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Dr. Andy?
Good. Good. What do you do to kind of offset worry and anxiety?
One thing that has really helped me, and I suffer from severe insomnia, severe to a point where you might not even believe, but exercise has helped quite a bit as a practical way. Even though I might not feel like doing it, even just doing a little bit of cardio, getting a little bit of sweat going, I've got several examples of when this has happened, but I've just noticed that has really helped in a practical way to clear my head, get me thinking straight, maybe making better decisions than you know, not such a great decision. So just doing some exercise, I found has been, you know, and it does get your endorphins going. And I do find that a practical way to help with anxiety.
Yeah, that's good. You do it daily?
I try to do it daily, depending on how I feel, how my sleep is gone. I also have a pancreas issue that I'm dealing with, so it is what it is. But yeah, I try to get a little sweat in. You know, when I was married, I am divorced now. I think, like I said, I've got several situations. My ex used to work at a salon, and so there was just a lot of situations where I decided to go to the gym instead of, like, going to a club or something, yeah, like with my friend or something like that, you know, making a poor decision. Just go to the gym and jump on the treadmill for an hour. Yeah. And I came back and I came back to the house. My head was clear and you know, we didn't go to bed angry. We worked it out. And I just find that really does help a lot of times in a practical way. So
That's great. That's good, Dennis. Listen, anyone who's done exercise, I know the times in my life when I've been really intentional with exercise, I always feel better. Now, we walk, we do exercise, but getting to the cardio level and that kind of thing can be productive if your body can handle it. Talking about dealing with anxiety, and I'm asking you all to just join me with some really practical things, because the Bible tells us, hey, listen, don't worry. And it says here in Ecclesiastes 11, if you worry about the weather and don't plant seeds, you won't harvest a crop. One of the things that I think that Solomon is telling us, worry keeps you from doing the next right one thing. You still got to plant the crop. If you're worrying and not doing the things you need to do, then you start worrying about the things you should have done, but you didn't do. And that creates procrastination, and procrastination can create more worry and anxiety. And you know where that's going. And so that's a good reminder. Even though we have these feelings, and that it is a feeling, right? We need to continue to proceed. And again, remember two things. Fear is a natural thing. We want to have a natural level of fear. But when fear kind of dominates our life and we start worrying about things we have no control over, and it's kind of persistent and constant, that's where it can start to become unhealthy in our life. We call it the circle of control. You know, I'm concerned about certain things and need to be, but if I worry about things I have no control over, that can drain me. You have kids that are raised and gone and living on their own. You pray for them. You want to influence their life. But if you spend your time anxiously worried about them, you hurt yourself. I've often wondered about the daddy of that prodigal son who left, if he spent time worrying or did he just spend time trusting God and leaving the curtains open, waiting for him to come. What did Jesus say about worry? We'll come back in a moment, tell you what he said that I think is profound for our lives today. Certainly is. Anything that Jesus said is profound. And we'll share that with you in just a minute.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Maybe you're trying to make a decision. Should you move? Move to a different part of the country? Move to a different kind of job? Maybe you're looking to make some career decisions. Maybe you're trying to make a decision if you should marry or not. Maybe a decision, should I divorce or not? You know, we have many decisions in life, and we know that only a few decisions ultimately will alter the course of our lives, but those decisions matter. So I guess we start this month with the question, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? You know, undoubtedly, you've asked yourself or the Lord that very question, either recently or in the past or maybe even today. Perhaps it's something that you've even pondering right now in your life. As you look to move forward, you want to find God's will. You want to do God's will in your life. But either way, the fact is, you have or are desiring His will as a very good sign.
Excerpt. Making decisions. You worry about that, maybe? Yeah. Listen, decisions matter. How you make decisions matter. The lesson this month up on our website for people around the world, intentional lesson, is available because of the gracious and sacrificial support of so many listeners, men and women who just say, hey, I want to join in the challenge, be a part of this. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. And I can just report that your support matters. We live off of what comes in to go back out to reach people. And your help in this month would be greatly appreciated as we're starting, you know, this new fiscal year for us here. And your support is needed. And if you're not, come and join us. Your monthly support, $1 a day, $30 a month. Call 888-888-1717, press number 2, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com.
My name is Sheila, and I remember that I used to worry so much about my children. They live in different states. And my son ended up in the hospital in Phoenix, and I was getting migraines from worrying. I couldn't sleep from worrying. I overate from worrying, and then I wouldn't eat anything from worrying. And I went back to church. And somebody said, well, have you thought that maybe this is what God has planned for your son? And I'm like, oh, it was like an entire weight lifted off me. And I've been living for the Lord 100% ever since. I have not worried.
There you go. Hey, listen, there's a difference between worry and concern. Some of you are saying, well, that's not really worry. I'm just concerned for my kids. And I'll tell you what I think the distinction is between worry and being concerned is that when you're concerned, you say, sorry about that. When you're concerned, you pray for them and you do what you can, right? But then afterwards, you don't just linger with these emotions of what am I done or what should I do? And there's where concern can slide over into the worry camp. And that can become a big problem. All right, before we get to the calls again, Jesus said, Matthew 6, that is why I tell you all not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add even a single moment to your life? I think the answer is pretty clear. In fact, it'd probably subtract from your life, not add to it. So Jesus goes on to say, so don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own problems, its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Isn't that true? We all have something coming up today. And why worry about tomorrow? All right. Practical stuff. What are you doing? 888-888-1717 is the number. Let me go to Nick in Tennessee. Hi, Nick. How you doing? Are you there, Nick? All right. Let me go to Dana in Arizona. Hi, Dana. How are you?
Good, Dr. Randy. How about you?
Terrific. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about anxiety? What helps you?
Well, you know, just like the favorite foods we eat is never just one ingredient. It's usually several things that are blended together for a total effect. So I have kind of a recipe of three things that I try to do each day that really help me. In no particular order, exercise is a big one. You had a previous caller that addressed that. Right. Went for a 20-mile bike ride this morning, and I get off the bike. I'm tired, but you're invigorated. You kind of clean the sludge out, and it really helps. The next thing is music, praise and worship music, or classical music, music that ascends and that soars. And there's lots of evidence that tells us that music can supplement your intelligence quotient, your emotional quotient. So, and then you can combine physical activity with music. You can listen to something while you're working out, and now you get kind of a double dip. And the last thing that I think is maybe the most important is affectionate physical touch with the people that mean the most to you. That could be your spouse or your children. It could be picking up a cat and let the cat purr in your lap, or having a dog lick your face. But affectionate physical in touch is vital to our spirit and our soul. So by combining those three, I find that I really, for the most part, eliminate all worry and anxiety from my life.
Interesting. And I was thinking about that, you know, exercising the music. How many of you maybe listen to the radio here, Family Life Radio, or your station, and you use the music as an opportunity when you're going for a walk or doing some exercise? You know, I do. That's really positive. And affection, of course. Hey, listen, my kids, grandkids can't get in and out of the house without a hug. Even if they don't want one. And, you know, it's interesting. Have you ever noticed with your kids, your grandkids, they're all different? Some are more huggy type. They like that. And others are, yeah, they love it, but it's, you know, it's a little bit different. And so even the in-laws get in on that. You come to my house, you're getting a hug. No dog, by the way, at our house. But that's another story. All right. We're talking about dealing with, thank you, by the way, Dana. Good stuff. Music, exercise, affection, reading the Bible. We've heard exercise twice. Animals have come up a couple times. Interesting. Being with those that make a difference in your life. Let's take a quick break. All right. We'll be right back. We're going to continue this, and we're going to record some calls from you all to air on Monday coming up. So what's one really practical thing that you do to help you with anxiety and worry in your life? 888-888-1717.
We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right, just before we get back to Helen, I think she's going to wrap up the show for us. If I can have just about 30 seconds to say thank you so much for those of you, each of you, who are praying for and supporting this ministry. We're listener supported. We don't get government funding or anything else, and we made determination we're not borrowing a penny to operate. We just use what comes in to impact people here and around the world through media and events and publications and books and so on. And I just need your help. When you hear a lesson like that, it's available to people listening all around the world because of your support. My 30 seconds is about up, so let me give the phone number. 888-888-1717. Press number 2. It'll take you to our staff. 888-888-1717. Or go to theintentionallife.com. All right. It was about 45 seconds. Sorry. Thank you. You can join us today. We're talking about the power of specific things to deal with anxiety in your life. Let me go to Helen, who is next in Michigan. Hi, Helen. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's one thing you do for anxiety and worry?
Well, after years and years of living with anxiety with an abusive relationship, I realized I've always been faithful and always been a Christian from the day I was born. So what I realized was, what's the worst thing that can happen to me? I die and go to heaven? How can that be the worst? That's the best. So I just live every day as, is this my day or isn't it? Whatever it is, it's okay with me.
Hey, listen, Helen, listen, I appreciate your call. I really do. And I understand, boy, we got to put our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. But I want to say two things to you that as a friend, as someone who may be speaking to your life, number one, God never intended for us to live in an environment where we're being abused. And so, and I don't know what that means to you or your situation, but I would encourage you to get some help for yourself and for if that's still continuing in your relationship. And then number two, when we talk about what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, is that something we're born with? We don't inherit it. My parents were Christians, but I didn't become a believer until I was 13, 14. In fact, that's one of the reasons I realized I've grown up in a church. I've been around Christians. I've been going to Sunday school and all of that, but I don't inherit it. And I had to come to a decision of myself. And I can remember when I was 13, 14 years old, the light bulb went off, the aha moment that, hey, this is about me, not about my family or church I go to or being a nice person. And I remember asking my dad, it was a Sunday night. I said, Dad, I'm not sure. I don't know if I really know Christ. Would you pray with me? And I can still remember getting on our knees in the living room of that little house in Berkeley, Michigan, for those of you in Michigan, and praying and giving my life to Christ. And so when we talk about worry, I only got about 30 seconds here. When we talk about worry and anxiety, I say that all emotion should be used as a fuel to help us challenge what's going on in our life. If you're having anxiety and worry, ask yourself, where is this coming from? What do I have control over and what don't I? And God, what are you trying to teach me? And what one thing should I be doing next to deal with this in my life for your glory and frankly, for my benefit and the benefit of those that I love? And so, again, the importance of the message here is whatever you're dealing with, sometimes you need to reach out and get some help. Whatever we do, these one things that we do, exercise and reading and praying, these are great and fantastic and we need to do them, but there are times we need to say, hey, I need some additional help to deal with whatever it is in my life. I'll tell you what, we're going to continue to discuss one practical thing that you do to deal with worry, and we'll get them recorded and share on Monday. Call now, though, 888-888-1717. Just scratch the surface on this huge, huge topic. I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you next time.